the baddest man in the NFL.
Let's go.
Josh Jacobs burst through the hole. Michael Pittman, touchdown.
And he's going to get sacked. They got him from behind.
Derrick Henry.
My goodness. No one's going to catch Barkley. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley.
The deadline for teams to use their franchise tag ended just a few minutes ago, and once a player signs the franchise tender, he has until July 15th to work out a multi-year contract extension with the team. Adam Schefter, what can you tell us about some of the decisions already made today?
Well, Laura, the Baltimore Ravens placed their franchise tag on Justin Matabuki after the two sides were unable to reach an extension. The sides will continue to work towards a long-term agreement, but they tagged Matabuki at just over $22 million as the two sides continue to work towards a long-term agreement that will not be cheap, but Baltimore doesn't want him going anywhere. The same is true in Jacksonville with defensive end Josh Allen, who's coming off a tremendous season. The Jaguars placed their franchise tag on him, $24 million. Don't want him going anywhere. After 17 and a half sacks last season, the two sides will continue working on a long-term deal to see if they can get that done. But the Miami Dolphins have not and did not place their franchise tag on Christian Wilkins, as we discussed over the weekend. They are going to allow him to hit the open market. He's going to be one of the most sought-after free agents out there. Miami is very likely to lose him because there will be so much interest in Christian Wilkins on the open market because of the player and person that he is. And then, of course, the running backs might be one of the central storylines of free agency. No tags for any running backs, including Saquon Barkley, the dynamic Giants running back who now becomes one of the headliners of free agency. No tag for Derrick Henry. No tag for Austin Eckler. No tag for Tony Pollard. No tag for DeAndre Swift. No tag for Josh Jacobs. We can go on and on. And free agency is about supply and demand. There's a great supply of running backs, but not a great demand for running backs. And here are the transition and franchise tags. The full list of players: Jalen Johnson gets the tag in Chicago. Michael Pittman gets the tag in Indianapolis after the two sides try to get a deal done. Kyle Duggar in New England gets the transition tag. And obviously a busy day with Antoine Winfield getting a tag in Tampa. A lot of tags going around. Normally players do not like tags, but there are a few players out there that the teams are working to re-sign, and we'll see if they can get deals done before the new league year begins next week, Laura.
You get a tag. You get a tag. Welcome to NFL Live. There are a lot of tags and lots of news to get to, as Adam laid out so well. We're going to get into a lot of that throughout the show. You can see these guys here with us. Of course, Adam with us for the hour, Andrew Hawkins and Sam Acho here. Our draft analyst, Jordan Reed, joins us in just a little bit for the latest on the top prospects. But let's roll, fellas. We got a lot to get to. The Ravens have a bunch of free agents. Take a look at some of the big names: Patrick Queen, Jadeveon Clowney, Kyle Van Noy, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, and Odell Beckham Jr., just to name a few. As Adam just told you, Justin Matabike tagged earlier today, so he will be on the team in 2024. But Adam, after tagging Matabike, what's next for the Ravens this offseason?
Well, Laura, the Ravens have a huge number of free agents, but this is not something that the franchise didn't know was coming. There were a lot of players who they signed on one-year deals. There are some higher-profile players as well, like the linebacker Patrick Queen. And so they're going to go into free agency here to try to re-sign many of their own players. What's interesting to me in Baltimore, most notably also, this is a team that likes to run the football. Gus Edwards is a free agent. J.K. Dobbins is a free agent. More running backs in that free agent market that we talked about. But when Baltimore goes into free agency next week, and really right now, in the days leading up to next week, its goal is going to be to try to retain and re-sign as many of those players as possible, particularly coming off the year the Ravens had. They'd like to run it back as much as they possibly could. The question is how many of those players they'll be able to bring back. Not everybody is going to be able to be brought back because obviously they had success this year. They played well. They'll want to hit the open market, but Baltimore would like to try to re-sign some of its own.
Yeah, Hawk, you see all those names. What do you think the Ravens need to prioritize this offseason since they can't re-sign all those guys?
You prioritize all the positions where you see multiples, Laura. I mean, like running back,
Wide receiver, obviously, which we'll get to, but outside linebacker is a very specific one because defensively, that was the lifeblood for the Baltimore Ravens. They lose their defensive coordinator and Coach McDonald to become a head coach. They lose their D-line coach, who's now a coordinator in Miami, and now you have their two outside linebackers in Kyle Van Noy and Jadeveon Clowney, who were there on one-year deals and had a mass amount of production. If you can't sign one or both of them back, you have to figure out a way to replenish that production that you were getting defensively in order for this team to rekindle some of that magic we saw from a year ago.
And if we want to see that magic rekindled, yes, it's about getting Justin Madubuike a long-term deal. But if there's any possible way to re-sign Patrick Queen, I would put that at higher priority over anyone else that's a free agent. And of course, Patrick Queen is a two-time All-Pro. He's going to command about $100 million. But there are ways to put off some players' salaries to later to try and add some cap room. Now, it's going to be difficult, but you're talking about a guy with 133 tackles, a defense that led the league in many categories. And so if you can keep the interior of that defense set, starting with Madubuike, then obviously you have Roquan Smith. And if there's any way to get Patrick Queen back, that'd be huge for this defense.
Yeah, they're all so good. It's hard to look around and say, oh, yeah, we'd be good without him. Madubuike, by the way, had 11 and a half sacks as an interior pass rusher last season. He was the only player with 10 or more. Just a monster year. Hopefully he gets that payday. To the latest with the Giants, as Adam told you at the top, they chose not to tag running back Saquon Barkley, and Saquon has averaged 98.8 scrimmage yards per game in his career. That's the fifth most since he entered the league in 2018. The main issue with Barkley, though, as we all know, durability. He's played in every game of a season just once in his career, 16 games in his rookie season. That was only back in 2018. So, Adam, what will the market be like for a player like Saquon?
Listen, I think he's going to be the top of the running back market, but the question becomes, what is the top of the running back market? And I think there are people out there who believe that if a running back can somehow get to $10 million a year, they would be doing well. Now, last year, Saquon was tagged. I think it was just over $11 million. The tag from this year would have been about $12.1 million. The Giants made the decision not to put that tag on him. So they don't think that he's worth that in this particular market. But now, Saquon Barkley gets the freedom, the flexibility to go where he wants, to sign where he pleases, to land the offer that he chooses. What works against him in my mind and in the eyes of executives across the league is, there are so many good running backs out there. Now, Saquon Barkley is an elite talent. But if you can't get a deal done with Saquon, you go on to Josh Jacobs, or you go on to Austin Eckler, or you go on to Derrick Henry, or Tony Pollard, DeAndre Swift, or Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins. We go on and on. A lot of great running backs here. No question, Saquon is at or near the top of the list. But the fact of the matter is there are a lot of running backs, and it also is a deep running back draft, which further hurts the running backs in free agency.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see which one of these guys goes first and then how that sort of resets or sets this market. You got to think Saquon Acho is thinking, hey, this New York thing's pretty good. There's a lot of extra money that can be made there. Maybe I go to Houston, I don't make as much money. Anyway, where do you think is the best landing spot for Saquon?
I think Houston is the best landing spot for Saquon Barkley for a couple reasons. Number one, they have the cap space. So this is a team that actually can afford to pay Saquon. But secondarily, look at who else is on the Houston Texans roster. C.J. Stroud. Yes, he's on a rookie deal, but one of the best and upcoming quarterbacks in the NFL. And you look about that offense. Look about Tank Dell. You think about Nico Collins. They just re-signed Dalton Schultz to a three-year deal. But what was the missing piece of this Texans offense? It was the run game, one of the worst running games in the NFL. You plug in Saquon Barkley to one of the worst running games in the NFL, now all of a sudden, as my coach would say, you're cooking with grease. And then add to that his receiving ability. 5 of his 6 years received for over 40 yards. So now you have a running back who can catch out of the backfield. I think Houston's a perfect fit.
Yeah, I love that, Acho. I would say the same thing about Houston. Another fit that I would look at is the Los Angeles Chargers, who are going to need to backfill Austin Eckler. And obviously with Harbaugh coming in, if you look at his offenses, he likes to rely heavier on these running backs to take some of that pressure off of his quarterback. And I can promise you that's a part of his plan to get the most out of Herbert. And the reason why Saquon Barkley is going to be one of the top running backs in this free agency class is what you talked about. He's good in running between the tackles, and he's good in the receiving game. Both things that the Chargers need now that Austin Eckler won't be there. He's dynamic. He is a guy that has shouldered a lot for the New York Giants. He won't have as much pressure on him going into an offense like the Los Angeles Chargers.
Hawk, Saquon makes a lot of sense in L.A. The problem is is that the Chargers still need to clear out a lot of cap space to get under the salary cap. They have looming decisions ahead on players like Mike Williams and Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack and Keenan Allen. They're going to have to rework contracts. So they're going to have to clear out cap space to begin with. So if we're going to talk about Saquon, let me just float this out there. How would Saquon look in Dallas? How would Saquon look in Philadelphia? How would Saquon look somewhere in the NFC East other than the New York Giants? I could see an NFC East team exploring that to see if they can make something happen with Saquon. That would be something that would be really interesting to track and watch during free agency or next week.
Yeah, and not that revenge is really a factor here. It doesn't feel that, but revenge would be pretty sweet maybe for Saquon if he could beat up on his old team. We'll see how that all plays out. A new on NFL Live from our Texans reporter, DJ Bieniemy. Houston re-signed tight end Dalton Schultz to a 3-year, $36 million deal. Schultz had 59 catches, 635 yards, and 5 touchdowns a year ago in quarterback C.J. Stroud's rookie season. Schultz back in action for the Texans next season and for years to come. Still to come on NFL Live, with Chris Jones set to be a free agent, will he stay with the Chiefs or get his bag elsewhere? Well, Acho tells us why their Super Bowl victory should make it clear Kansas City needs him back. Plus, there were a bevy of defensive players hit by the franchise tag today. We'll discuss what this means and the impact it'll have on teams. Don't miss that. NFL Live continues on ESPN right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back on NFL Live. Let's take a look at some of the players, defensive players, that teams had to make tag decisions on today. Starting in Miami, where defensive tackle Christian Wilkins was not tagged. Adam, what's the latest you're hearing about Wilkins after he avoided the tag today?
Well, Laura, I think the first sign came last summer when the Dolphins elected to sign defensive tackle Zach Sealer to a contract extension and give him some of the money that could have been ticketed for Christian Wilkins. There have been plenty of discussions between the two sides about whether or not Miami could retain Christian Wilkins, the former first-round draft pick. Ultimately, in the end, the Dolphins determined that he wasn't worth the price of the franchise tag, and they gave him the ability and the luxury to test free agency. Again, this is a reward for Christian Wilkins. When you don't get the tag, players are overjoyed. He now gets to go to the open market where any number of teams will be looking for defensive line help, and I expect his deal to come in somewhere around $24, $25 million per year.
Yeah, congrats to him. Adam, it's a good clarification. Sometimes I don't know if people understand. It's like not a negative when you don't get tagged. It's a good thing. Get to be out there in the free agent world. Hawk, where do you believe is the best landing spot for Wilkins?
To Adam's point, anybody who needs an interior defensive lineman who can stop the run, he's a leader, he's the NFLPA prep, all of those things. Like, he is a guy, a foundational piece in that organization. One place I could see happening, which was reported by Fowler, is the Cleveland Browns. They have a number of defensive linemen who are going to be free agents. We know they have Myles Garrett, who's the defensive player of the year, on the edge. Pairing him with another lights-out defensive lineman on the interior makes it that much more dynamic. He just had his career year, and being able to play alongside someone like Myles Garrett allows him to continue to play without that pressure and have somebody to set a balance for him on a defensive front.
Now that's filthy for the Browns. By the way, you mentioned the career year. Wilkins had a career best 9 sacks in 2023. That's more than he had in the previous 2 seasons combined. Thinking about Garrett on the edge, Wilkins in the middle, goodness. Let's go to Jacksonville. Well, linebacker Josh Allen was tagged by the Jaguars. Adam, what more can you tell us about this decision?
Well, I don't believe that Jacksonville intends to let Josh Allen get away, but it's not going to be easy to get a deal done after he came off the year that he had with 17 and a half sacks. It's going to be pricey to re-sign Josh Allen. He's going to be difficult to re-sign. And if and when a deal were to get done with that $24 million franchise tag number, you know that it's going to be a hefty, hefty bill. Josh Allen played himself into this particular contract if it gets done. If not, he plays on the franchise tag and then becomes a free agent next year. Either way, Josh Allen is looking to get paid, whether it's this offseason or next one.
Yeah, Acho, it's hard for me to imagine this current Jaguars team without Josh Allen. How important is Allen to what the Jags do on defense?
He was everything. Josh Allen accounted for 42.6% of Jacksonville's sacks. And oh, by the way, a large percentage of the rest of the sacks came by Trayvon Walker. Trayvon Walker, year two, got a chance to learn from Josh Allen. Even if he didn't, got a chance not to have to take on double teams because they tried to double team Josh Allen. And so the benefit of Josh Allen being back on this team is huge, not just for the Jaguars, but also for the growth of Trayvon Walker. Now you have two guys on the edge. I can get after the quarterback, add both of them. The two of those guys had over 67% of Jacksonville sacks. So that's a duo that's going to be dominant for years to come.
Yeah, it's a good point. When you spend a number one overall pick on a player like Trayvon Walker, you want to do everything possible, even if it means signing another player to help him get better. Let's go to Carolina, where the Panthers tagged linebacker Brian Burns. Adam, what does this mean for Burns?
Well, Laura, keep in mind that the Carolina Panthers turned down 2 number one draft picks at one point in time from the Los Angeles Rams. They tag him today, but I believe they tag him with the idea that they still would be open to trading him. And the question will become, where and when do they wind up dealing Brian Burns if there's a package that's attractive enough to Carolina? But just because the tag was placed on Brian Burns today doesn't mean that Brian Burns is going to be in Carolina. Keep in mind, the Panthers are missing a lot of draft picks that they gave up last year to Chicago to trade up for Bryce Young. I think they'd like to replenish some of those picks, and in return, Brian Burns could be the man that gets that done.
All right, so Hawk, where would you like to see him go if Carolina does in fact trade him?
Anywhere. Literally. I mean, he's one of the most consistent edge rushers that in the NFL, let alone what the Carolina Panthers have. My question and problem with what the Panthers have done, to Adam's point, they turned down a king's ransom for him because he was a foundational piece. But it's very clear that they are still far away from really utilizing his talents. And now they're at a point now. Once they turned down that offer, they kind of drew their line in the sand and he had all the leverage. And now that teams are going to be negotiating, I'm still curious of what kind of compensation they'll be able to replenish, understanding the situation they're in as a franchise.
Yeah, if you're wondering just how good Brian Burns has been, he has 172 quarterback pressures in the last 4 seasons. That's tied with Nick Bosa. That's the type of company that he's in. Up next on NFL Live, we've got more news to get to with running backs escaping the franchise tag. Which team should be in the market for one of these veteran backs? Our analysts talk about all of it. Of course, with the draft having a deep running back class too, there's a lot of discussion around these RBs. We'll be back in just a bit.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We have a stacked card at UFC 299 Saturday night, highlighted by the bantamweight title main event. The main card begins at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view, with the prelims at 8 Eastern on ESPN News and ESPN Deportes. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNPlus.com/PPV. The reigning back-to-back Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs placed the franchise tag on L'Jarius Sneed, which means their game-changing D-lineman Chris Jones is now a free agent. Maybe I should say game-winning D-lineman, because that's just what Chris Jones does, okay? Adam Schefter, what more can you tell us about where things stand with the Chiefs and Sneed after tagging him?
Well, Lord, just because they tagged him doesn't mean that they'll sign him or keep him. They are open to the idea, as they made clear, that they would entertain trade offers for L'Jarius Sneed. And so they used the tag here as a way to protect themselves with the idea that possibly they could bring him back and possibly they could trade him. I think if they could get back a second-round draft pick in return for L'Jarius Sneed, they would do that in a heartbeat. We'll see what they can get back. But there's the real possibility that they wind up trading L'Jarius Sneed at some point here in the near future. And with Sneed getting the tag, obviously, if they could trade him away, that would leave even more money for Chris Jones, who's going to want to get paid again and can't be tagged and can now go to free agency. And even though he said at the Chiefs parade, I'm coming back to Kansas City, I want to be here, we're running it back, all those things, the fact of the matter is it doesn't preclude another team from making a run at him to see if they can entice him to leave Kansas City. It would take a huge offer, obviously, but Chris Jones is a businessman. Let's see what's out there. And the tag on Sneed gives Jones the freedom and the ability to go do that in the coming days.
I mean, golly, if I had a whole bunch of money to offer up to anybody to come play for my team, it would probably be Chris Jones. Acho, who do you think is more important to this defense when it comes to working out a long-term deal, L'Jarius Sneed or Chris Jones?
Chris Jones is more important when it comes to working out a long-term deal, mainly because of the priority of the position. It's so hard to find great interior defensive line rushers, and Chris Jones is just that. We just talked about Justin Madubuike, 13 sacks, how elite that is. Chris Jones has been putting up numbers like that year in and year out. No, by the way, when it matters most, who's making game-winning plays? It's Chris Jones. Whether it's a third and four in overtime to win the Super Bowl from last year or a different play from Super Bowls in years past, Chris Jones is elite, and I think Kansas City needs him if they want to continue their dominant Super Bowl performances.
I completely agree. I think Chris Jones is one of the most underrated players we've had in our era because he is generational, but he's expensive. And yes, he has two Super Bowls. So as Adam said, he's a businessman who is going to want to get top dollar no matter where he's at. But please don't let the reports of L'Jarius Sneed being available for trade or getting the tag blind you from the fact that this guy is like that real deal. He plays the style at cornerback that we just don't see in this era. Very physical. If you need more evidence, go watch his games against Tyreek Hill, a wide receiver who can get open on anybody, has lights out speed. Look how L'Jarius Sneed choked him out, how physical he played, and how he mitigated the biggest part of the Miami offense. L'Jarius Sneed is the real deal at cornerback and one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and he will be paid as such. The Chiefs will be smart to try to keep both of them. We understand that that would be difficult.
Yeah, and Hawk, as you know, on top of his coverage skills, it's not just that. Sneed's also a great blitzer. He's got 35 quarterback pressures in his career, 10 more than the next closest cornerback since 2020. That cornerback blitz can be such an X factor in any game, and we saw Sneed be a big reason for that. Time now for some top stories with Adam Schefter. Adam, what more can you tell us about some cuts out in Seattle today?
Busy day for the Seahawks, Laura. They cleared out almost $30 million in cap space by cutting Jamal Adams, cutting Quandre Diggs, releasing Will Disley, three players that they move on from and remember what they first gave up for Jamal Adams. The two first-round draft picks, they still carry the dead cap charge for Jamal Adams. And so he now will be a free agent along with Quandre Diggs. The safety market is even that much richer. Justin Matabike tagged today for the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens will continue to work on a long-term deal for Matabike. They don't want him going anywhere. They've been talking to him. They've been trying to get the deal done. They'll continue to try to get a deal done with him. That's a priority for the Ravens franchise, and I think Matabike would like to stay there. We'll see if the two sides can get it done. And the Buccaneers used their franchise tag on Antoine Winfield Jr. today as a placeholder, as the two sides continue to talk about a long-term deal. The Bucs were able to franchise Antoine Winfield Jr. after signing Mike Evans to an extension. They'll hope to do the same to keep him in place, and they don't plan on allowing him to go anywhere this upcoming free agent signing period. Now you take a look at all the players who didn't get tagged today who are scheduled to become free agents next week. Chris Jones, Christian Wilkins, Saquon Barkley, a whole host of running backs, Josh Jacobs, Baker Mayfield, Calvin Ridley, Xavier McKinney. The Giants don't use any of their tags today. We'll see how that all works out here, but there are some marquee free agents now headed towards free agency. And again, as we mentioned before, the best thing for all the players on that list or anybody who could have been close to being tagged is that they're not tagged. Nobody wants to lose a game of tag right now. Everybody wants to run free, and everybody now gets to run into the free agent market where the tampering period begins Monday and the free agent signing period begins on Wednesday.
I used to be really good at tag on the playground, and then everyone got faster than me. All right, so one of the names that was on there was Saquon Barkley. Some big running backs are available in free agency. Notables, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Barkley, as I mentioned, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, and DeAndre Swift. All six had over 1,000 scrimmage yards in 2023. Adam, what will the market be for this talented group of free agent running backs, despite the fact that we know the running back market is a little bit in flux right now?
Laura, in recent years, we've heard a lot of conversation about a soft running back market. And this past season, that soft running back market hardened up a little bit when Jonathan Taylor landed a big-time extension with the Indianapolis Colts. And shortly after he did that, Zach Moss seemed to play very well, and people wondered why Indianapolis was as quick as it was to extend Taylor when Zach Moss was playing that way. It was just further affirmation for what we've seen in previous years when the running back market was flat. Now, fast forward to free agency. A group of running backs that are all immensely talented, all hitting the market at the same time, a month before a draft that's considered to be deep in the running back market. This is going to, I think, drive down the price of the running backs and not allow them to achieve the type of contracts I think that they would hope to achieve. Now, do I think that there'll be some running backs that get paid here the way that they'd like? Absolutely, because there's some tremendous players. But with this extensive group of running backs, not everybody is going to land the contract that they want. What will happen is some of them will sit out there. Eventually, some will take a one-year deal so they could get back to the market again next year. But that's how I would expect and others would expect this market to play out. There will be a couple of running backs, a few running backs that get paid. I think the other running backs will see the market is not quite as robust as they would like. Some of the running backs will be sitting out there and then wind up signing one-year deals, hoping to hit the free agent market again next season.
Well, Hawk, when you look at the free agent running backs, what is the best fit out there for one of these guys?
I like Derrick Henry in the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, I look for running backs that you're not able to get in the draft. You're not getting a Derrick Henry in this draft with his impact. Yes, he's on the other side of 30, but he is a modern marvel in what he has done, and I suspect will be the same case for the next couple of years. But you look at an offense that is tailor-made for what Derrick Henry brings to the table, which is a between-the-tackles runner who is dynamic but powerful, can wear defenses down and take pressure off of your quarterback. Lamar Jackson still led this team in rushing. So Derrick Henry coming in there on a contract that should be more friendly because of his age, you still get a dynamo who can help this offense and this team, again, continue to keep some of that momentum that they built last season.
Yeah, I get excited about Josh Jacobs to the LA Chargers. Why do I say that? Well, LA Chargers new coach Jim Harbaugh was a coach, yes, in College of Michigan, loved to run the ball back in San Francisco, but also when he was with the 49ers as the head coach, San Francisco was a top 10 rushing team each of the 4 years, number three twice. And so when you think about rushing attempts, Josh Jacobs, physical running back, Josh Jacobs can explode for big plays. He'd be a perfect fit in Jim Harbaugh's typical style of offenses. Okay, and then also, what are you looking at? You're looking at two guys who aren't going to be there. Austin Eckler is a free agent. Joshua Kelly is a free agent. So neither has been re-signed. Josh Jacobs, perfect fit.
Yeah, well, Hawk put Saquon Barkley there earlier, and then now you're putting Josh Jacobs there. But Adam told us very astutely they've got some financial things to figure out, so they got to get somebody. We'll find some money somewhere, Chargers, and see if you can figure it out. Also, Derrick Henry told me at the Super Bowl he's excited to be a free agent. Can't wait to see where he ends up. Coming up, the Broncos plan to release Russell Wilson, but do they have the plan for their next signal caller? Well, Acho tells us which QB in this year's draft he thinks can succeed in Sean Payton's offense. Don't miss it. That's next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The NHL is returning to Big City. It's a very real game. Every goal, save, and check that happens here will also happen in Big City. Sid and Cricket take on Marshawn and Grandma Alice. March 9th at 3 p.m. on ESPN Plus, Disney Channel, Disney XD, and Disney Plus.
A huge lineup coming your way Saturday. As you just heard, Big City Green's back for the NHL matchup between the Penguins and Bruins on ESPN+. Plus, number 10 Duke hosting 9th-ranked North Carolina for their primetime rivalry game. And the Suns squaring off against the Celtics on ABC. And UFC 299 in Miami. Just a stacked lineup on Saturday on the ESPN family and networks. Don't miss it. Hey, Jordan Reed's latest mock draft is out. ESPN.com, our draft analyst, has got 6 quarterbacks going in the first 2 rounds with Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels going in the top 3, followed by J.J. McCarthy at 11 to the Vikings, Bo Nix at 39th overall to the Giants, and Michael Penix at 44th to the Raiders. I love it. Jordan joining us now to talk more about those quarterbacks. And Jordan, you have Drake May going ahead of Jaden Daniels to the Commanders at 2. What led you to that decision?
Yeah, I do have Drake May over Jaden Daniels at number 2 overall, but I will say this, we're splitting hairs with both of these guys. Nobody knows the direction that the Commanders are going to go at number 2 overall, but with Drake May, I just like the combination of the package that I'm getting with the player just because he's been more consistent when we're talking about being a 3-level threat as far as a thrower. Yes, Jaden Daniels was an outstanding deep passer, but I thought Drake May, when you're talking about consistently making tight window throws throughout the season, I thought Drake May was more consistent. And while Jaden Daniels had a terrific year last year, I don't want to take anything away from him there. I just think when you're talking about the upside and the combination of the package of the player that you're getting, I just like Drake May better on the next level.
Yeah, I like that you called it splitting hairs. It felt like at the combine, the narrative shifted a little bit away from Drake May, and that's going to change so many times before the draft. But he is, to your point, such a consistent, such an impressive player. Can't wait to see what he does at the next level. Which quarterback, Jordan, helped themselves the most with their performance at the combine?
Yeah, one player that helped himself the most and the player that I'm fascinated by in this draft class is Michael Penix Jr. of Washington. You talk about somebody that was throwing absolute lasers on Saturday night when the quarterbacks were going through their throwing session. He made every single throw possible. But the biggest wild card about Penix and what makes him such a big wild card in this class is that 4 season-ending injuries in as many seasons. But last year, in the past 2 seasons, he's been able to stay completely healthy. Everybody that I talked to at the combine said he came back with a clean bill of health, which is huge for him.
Yeah, you have him going 44th overall. If he ends up staying healthy, that could be such a steal for the Raiders. By the way, if all 6 quarterbacks go in the first 2 rounds, it'll be just the 5th draft ever that 6 QBs went in the first 2 rounds. I think it'll probably happen. Thanks to Jordan Reed. A lot more coming from you throughout our coverage of the draft and the lead up to April's draft. Thanks for being with us here. Back to the breaking news yesterday during our show. Russell Wilson will be released by the Broncos when the league year begins March 13th, leaving an $85 million dead cap hit, the most ever. Russell wrote on IG that he's ready for the next chapter. So what exactly will that be? Adam, we're going to start with you. What are you hearing about the plans for Denver at quarterback after they've moved on from Russ?
Laura, let's keep this in mind. They moved on from Russ at the end of last season. And they started Jared Stidham at the end of the year. And they have Jared Stidham on a two-year contract. So I think we start all conversations with Jared Stidham. Now this is a team that goes out to see what are the other quarterback options out there in free agency in the draft. They'll bring in another quarterback at least to challenge, if not unseat, Jared Stidham. But at this current time, Jared Stidham is the guy because he was the guy at the end of last year, obviously. But the question is, who can they get in this draft? Who can they get in free agency? Sean Payton always has prided himself on being somebody who could identify talent and figure out who has a chance to make it at the next level. And he's going to trust in those skills, whichever quarterback it may be, in the upcoming draft to see if he could find Denver some kind of crown jewel. Look, the Broncos need to come up with a hit here the way that the 49ers did after they missed on Trey Lance. They found Brock Purdy in the seventh round, and it was able to wipe out all the sins that they committed by trading all those picks for Trey Lance, and it basically forgave them of that. Denver needs to do something similar here with that cap charge, with the compensation they gave up. They need to find somebody to step in to save the franchise.
Yeah, and with all the layers here, those weren't Sean Payton's sins with Russell Wilson. So it's interesting, too. I'm sure he'll be at all the pro days. He was at the combine, paying very close attention to these quarterbacks. Hawk, what do you think the Broncos do at quarterback next season?
To me, they try to make a run at Kirk Cousins. They move cap heaven and earth to try to make that happen because Sean Payton doesn't have a bunch of experience playing with rookie quarterbacks. You would love to say, hey, get one of these guys that are coming out. It's a quarterback-heavy draft. But the reality is when you watch the film last year, and we talked about it on this show, this offense wasn't being called in a way that was ready to compete for a championship. They are having receivers who weren't getting open in man-to-man, long-developing routes that did not bode well with the protection they had. They need a quarterback who has played NFL football at a high level. They can come in, and Sean Payton can sprinkle over the top. And in this free agency, it's only Kirk Cousins. So I don't know how they get that done, Laura, but I don't have confidence in them bringing in a rookie and then competing at the level that Sean Payton is trying to sell to the organization.
But, Hawk, I don't have confidence in them being able to move heaven and earth. Maybe somebody else can, but they can't with that cap situation. I mean, they're already over the cap, and then depending on what happens with Russell Wilson's contract, when it's a whether it's a post-June first release, they're already going to be even more over the cap. And so the situation is this. There is absolutely no cap space. What do you have? You have a first-round pick. And I would go to the draft to solve this quarterback issue. And I would go Bo Nix. He may still likely will still be available at 12. Maybe you can move back. But why not go Bo Nix? Why? Last year, 45 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 77.4 completion percentage. What does Sean Payton love? At least the years I played against him and the years that he was in the NFL. A lot of precise, quick decisions. What did Drew Brees was great at? He was great at those quick passes. And so you see a few similarities. I'm not saying that Bo Nix is Drew Brees, but as far as the accuracy, the decision-making, ability to move in the pocket and make a quick pass, that's what we see from Bo Nix. And I think Sean Payton, with his hands all over Bo Nix, could make something out of nothing.
Yeah, having covered Bo Nix all the way back to his time at Auburn, I can tell you he has steadily improved throughout these last few years in the college game. That would certainly accelerate at the NFL level. We got a lot more coming your way here on NFL Live. Don't miss it next. We're still talking about Kirk Cousins, okay? He's headed toward free agency. No guarantee he stays in Minnesota. Hear why Hawk thinks heading south to Atlanta would not be the best move for this aging quarterback. He put him with the Broncos. He doesn't want him to go to the Falcons. We got more coming your way next on NFL Live. Time now to read and react on NFL Live with some other players who were franchise tagged today. Let's start in Tampa, where the Bucs had safety Antoine Winfield Jr., who does it all for the team. He's got 381 tackles in his career, tied with Harrison Smith for the fifth most among defensive backs since 2020. Winfield also has 15 sacks, which is 5.5 more than the next closest DB in the last 4 seasons. Acho, just how valuable is Winfield to this Buccaneers defense?
Antoine Winfield is elite. He's the definition of a football player, and he's also a ball hawk. 6 sacks, 3 interceptions, 6 forced fumbles, 4 fumble recoveries. That's 13 turnovers forced by him alone. And so you think about the ball, the game's all about the ball. Antoine Winfield is a ball hawk. You could tell he has that football DNA. His dad played for a long time. He's been doing it for a long time. Antoine Winfield is an elite level defender that helps his team win.
To Indianapolis, where they placed the franchise tag on wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. Pittman caught 109 passes last year, fifth most in the NFL, and the most by a Colts receiver since Reggie Wayne in 2010. He got 28% of the Colts' targets in 2023. Only 10 players had a higher target share last season. So important to this offense. Hawk, how would you describe what Pittman does to this offense?
He provides a leader. He provides consistency on the outside, especially for a franchise that did better than expected once Anthony Richardson went out. Now, when Richardson comes back, what he'll need is that security blanket and a guy on the outside that he knows that can get open and can win. You look at Schultz being re-signed for the Texans for the same reasons for C.J. Stroud. Michael Pittman Jr. is too important to this offense, to this organization, and specifically to Anthony Richardson.
All right, well, Kirk Cousins has just been begging for us to talk about him in this show so far. We've hinted at it a little bit. We're going to really dive into it now. As we talk about Kirk Cousins approaching free agency, does Minnesota keep him? Does another quarterback-hungry team grab him up? There are a few of those teams out there. He is headed toward this whole thing, and it's going to get really interesting. And remember, before his injury, Cousins was playing great. He's in line for another big payday this offseason. He's taken home just under $229 million in earnings. Cha-ching. Since the start of the 2016 season, the fourth most behind in the NFL, behind Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers. That's the rarefied air financially that he's in. Adam, what more can you tell us about the market for Kirk Cousins right now?
Well, Laura, the clock is ticking, and we're getting closer and closer to the free agent market opening next week. And the more time that goes on, the more it's fair to wonder if he's going to re-sign with Minnesota. And if he doesn't re-sign with Minnesota, and it hasn't gotten done yet, then clearly other teams are going to have a crack at him. And the first team that you think of where he would make a lot of sense would be the Atlanta Falcons, whose priority is to upgrade the quarterback position. That's an area that they want to focus on. They've got a lot of skill position talent all across the board on the offensive side of the football. Somebody like Cousins could help settle it down. The rest of the roster is ready to win now. And so I would think that the Falcons would make a run, a push at Kirk Cousins, whose wife is from that area. He's lived in that area during the offseason. The question becomes, can Minnesota keep him in Minnesota, or does Atlanta pull him away? And is there another team that somehow sneaks in there at the last moment? Maybe a team like Washington that somehow casts its line for Kirk Cousins to bring him back to that city. There will be plenty of interest. I think he's the biggest name on the free agent list. I think he's the top talent out there on the free agent list, and I think he'll land probably the biggest contract in this free agent market.
And Adam, you're obviously saying that Washington, with the number two overall pick, as a reminder to everybody, they trade that pick to somebody who really needs to go get a quarterback. They grab Cousins.
Yeah, well, Laura, that's exactly right. It would reshape the draft if somehow Washington decided to go in that direction. I think Washington is open to any and all options. At this point in time, it's going to think about and explore everything from going to visit with Kirk Cousins to taking a quarterback at number two to moving up or even back in the draft. I think all options are on the table. When there's a new general manager in Adam Peters and a new head coach in Dan Quinn, you're going to do things differently. And I think this team right now is looking at all those options, and I think they're all on the table right now, including exploring the Kirk Cousins one.
I think that's fascinating. Acho, I'm curious about your opinion, potentially the fit of Cousins in Washington. You can also address the fit in Atlanta, too.
I think Atlanta would be a perfect fit, but it's not just what I think. I was talking with one of the players, one of these star players in the Atlanta Falcons. They were saying, man, we want Kirk Cousins. Why? Because if you're on that offense, you want someone that can distribute the ball to you. There's talent. There's Bijan Robinson. There's Drake London. You have Kyle Pitts at tight end. There's talent all around the field. All that has happened is that they haven't been able to distribute the ball to that talent. The defense is ready. We talk about the roster is ready. You plug and play a quarterback, and all of a sudden, you have a team that can win the NFC South, a very winnable division. And so if I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I'm looking nowhere else besides this quarterback, Kirk Cousins, to add to my team. I think he's plug and play, and I think he's the exact quarterback that can help these receivers be more elite than they were before.
I think for the Falcons, that makes total sense. It's similarly how I talked about the Denver Broncos. If you're looking for a quarterback, there is one free agent quarterback you got to go get. It is Kirk Cousins. Now, if we're talking about on the field, Minnesota, in my opinion, is still the best fit. He is tailor-made for Kevin O'Connell's offense, and that is, there's evidence of that, of looking at his numbers this season, the way he was performing with Justin Jefferson. Even when Justin Jefferson went out of the lineup, Kirk Cousins was lights out. And Kevin O'Connell realizes that. The problem is he's coming off his Achilles tear. He has a precedent that he set that money talks to Kirk Cousins. He likes guaranteed deals. He likes money coming in. So if the Falcons or any other suitor could come in with that mindset, Kirk Cousins is ready to move.
Adam?
Listen, he's been as good a businessman as there has been in football. He has mastered the system. If every player operated their career the way Kirk Cousins has, they'd have more guaranteed money and more money in the bank. Here's another opportunity for him to take advantage of the system. Yet again, many players get taken advantage of by the system, not Kirk Cousins.
He won't let it happen. We're going to follow up on that Commanders thing tomorrow, too. Time for one more thing before we go. The Boston Globe's Christopher Price posted this profile of Dylan Lobby yesterday on X. Lobby, a prospect out of University of New Hampshire who worked out of the combine last week, responded today saying, quote, "Thank you. The article is awesome, but could we use any other picture here? He doesn't like his pick, you guys." I don't know. It's hard to look good like when you're doing those drills, though. Everybody looks crazy. Maybe Hawk did.
I think he went to high school with my dad.
Oh, Hawk. Burn. The hits keep coming. Sorry, Dylan. We didn't plan on that. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for being with us.